Hello and welcome to the Emmanuel Croydon podcast. At Emmanuel Croydon, we exist to be a community drawn together by our desire to know and follow Jesus. We long to become disciples of Jesus who are equipped to serve him in the whole of life, transforming families, communities, and workplaces as we love God with heart, mind, soul, and strength. We hope you enjoy this week's talk from the morning services. Thank you for joining us today. Grace and peace to you.
Hello, I think I'd better start. Okay. The reading is from Acts chapter 18, verses 18 to 28, page 1124. Paul stayed on in Corinth for some time. Then he left the believers and sailed for Syria, accompanied by Priscilla and Aquila. Before he sailed, he had his hair cut off in Centuria because of the vow he had taken. They arrived at Ephesus, where Paul left Priscilla and Aquila. He himself went on to the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews. When they asked him to spend more time with them, he declined. But as he left, he promised, "I will come back if it's God's will." Then he set sail from Ephesus. When he landed at Caesarea, he went up and greeted the church and then went down to Antioch. After spending some time in Antioch, Paul set out from there and travelled from place to place throughout the region of Galatia and Phrygia, strengthening all the disciples. Meanwhile, a Jew named Apollos, a native of Alexandria, came to Ephesus. He was a learned man with a thorough knowledge of the scriptures. He had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and he spoke with great fervor and taught about Jesus accurately. Though he only knew the baptism of John, he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. When Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they invited him to their home and explained it to him the way of God more adequately. When Apollos wanted to go to Achaia, the believers encouraged him and wrote to the disciples there to welcome him. On arriving, he was a great help to those who by grace had believed, for he vigorously refuted the Jews in public debate, proving from the scriptures that Jesus was the Christ. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Great, thanks, Anne. Put a hand in the air if you normally are at the Rock on a Sunday in one of our children's groups or youth groups. Yeah, a few of us. Now, our children's groups, they do an amazing job. We're so thankful for our leaders. They're having a well-deserved break over the summer. But I want to tell you about a particular children's group leader from a bit further back. Can we have the picture of him on the screen, please, Esther? He doesn't look like maybe one of your Rock leaders. With that big beard there, although, you know, we welcome big bearded people in our children's ministry. But this guy is called Edward Kimball. He's a Sunday school teacher in America in the 1850s. Now, he was particularly concerned about one of the young men in his group. And so one week he plucked up a bit of courage and he decided he would go and visit him where he worked. So this guy was working in a shoe shop. So he walked into the shoe shop, found out where the guy was, and back in the stock room, went up to him, said he was concerned about him, stumbled out some clumsy words about how he thought he needed to trust in Jesus. And amazingly, despite the clumsiness of the words, the young man, he was so impressed by Edward's love for him that he became a Christian there and then. Now, that young man's name was Dwight Moody. D.L. Moody, some of you may have heard of him. He became an evangelist who's estimated to have reached over 100 million people with the gospel. But the story doesn't stop there. So one of the people who came to faith through Dwight Moody, he also became an evangelist. And one of the people he reached also became an evangelist, who trained another famous evangelist. And through his preaching, a group of businessmen in North Carolina, again in the States, they organized a mission in which a young man came to faith by the name of Billy Graham. And he preached the gospel to over 215 million people. You see, it all started with Edward Kimball. Edward Kimball, who realized that he could make a difference, who realized that he was a disciple maker. And here's the thing I want us to see this morning. We can all be like Edward Kimball. Not necessarily with the big bushy beard, not necessarily a children or youth group leader, although if that's you, we'd love to hear from you. But all of us, like him, can be disciple makers. Now, I really mean all of us here. If you've been a Christian like a few days or a few weeks or many decades, you can be a disciple maker. Whether you're 6, 26, 60, it can be you. Now, I'm conscious as I say that. Some of us are thinking, yeah, whatever, but not really me. I know there are lots of Christians here. They could make great disciple makers, not me. I lack the confidence. I lack the knowledge. I lack whatever, fill in the blank. That might be where some of us are this morning. And so to help us think more clearly what it means to be disciple makers, we're looking at this wonderful little story of Priscilla and Aquila. This is the second part, as Stu said, of our series on friendship. And we're thinking about how we can be friends to one another as we disciple one another. And Priscilla and Aquila's example is going to help us see what that looks like. As Stu mentioned, we've got the worksheets. Just as Eli brought his back, I realized he only had one page of it. I wasn't very clear. There's three pages to it. So if you've only got one page, there's more there. So grab the rest of that. If you didn't have a chance, just over on that table there with some pencils as well. It will help you engage as we go through. So what does it look like to be disciple makers? Here's the first thing for this morning. Disciple makers are healthy disciples. Now, to be a disciple, it simply means someone who is following Jesus, someone who's been forgiven by him and who's been made new by him and who's seeking to live life his way. Now, Jesus said in the Great Commission that he gave to his first disciples, he said that making disciples involves, quote from Jesus, teaching them to obey everything he commanded. And Jesus also said that following him would be at one and the same time the most wonderful life-changing thing that could ever happen and also costly. Jesus said these words, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me." So disciples are people who are trying to live out the Great Commission to obey everything he commanded and who do that even when it's costly. And we see that very much in Priscilla and Aquila. If we can have the passage as we go through, Esther, and as Stu said, if you want to grab a Bible from a pew, do feel able to move around, do that, or on your phone. Now, Priscilla was a wealthy woman. She and her husband Aquila had no doubt a big house, a high social position, but they could have just kicked back and enjoyed the high life, and that's not how they lived. We hear this about them. Paul, writing to the Christians in Rome, says, "Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my co-workers in Christ Jesus. They risked their lives for me. Not only I, but all the churches of the Gentiles are grateful to them." So Priscilla and Aquila, they were a couple. They were people who loved Jesus so much that they were seeking to be his faithful followers, to obey what he commanded, even when that cost them. They were willing to risk their lives, we're told, for the mission to the Gentiles. Healthy disciples. And healthy disciples, well-placed to be disciple makers. So as we begin to think of them this morning, I would love to ask you about your place as a healthy disciple. See, we can't disciple others if we ourselves are not following Jesus faithfully. So let me ask you this morning, how would you rate your discipleship this morning? How's your daily obedience going to everything Jesus commanded? How are you facing the costs of following Jesus, the particular costs for you? Now, all of us who are followers of Jesus, we will be doing that imperfectly, absolutely. But here's the good news this morning. If you're seeking, however imperfectly, like I am, however imperfectly, to follow Jesus, then you are already well-placed to disciple others. Again, I don't mean someone else sitting near you, I mean you. So that's the first characteristic of a disciple maker, healthy disciples. Here's the second. Disciple makers open up their lives for others to follow. We're introduced in this passage to Apollos. He's a man who grew up in Alexandria. And we know that Alexandria was in its day the number one intellectual center in the Roman world. Massive library there, a place that lots of people went to do diligent learning. And in that atmosphere of learning, here's a very diligent Jewish student. Apollos, we're told that he had a thorough knowledge of the scriptures, verse 24. And at some point, he'd encountered the message of Jesus as the only salvation, the only way to salvation. He'd come to love and to trust in Jesus. And the Old Testament that he'd read all the way as he grew up, it came alive to him. And he went around beginning to enthusiastically teach people, look, Jesus is the promised Messiah. But there was a problem. As he spoke in the synagogue, our healthy disciples, Priscilla and Aquila, they were sitting there, they heard him, and they realized that there were some things missing in his grasp of the gospel. We're told he knew only the baptism of John. And so, verse 26, when Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they invited him to their home and explained to him the word of God more adequately. You can perhaps picture the scene. Priscilla and Aquila, they're sitting there one day in the synagogue, and this earnest young man stands up, begins speaking with great passion about Jesus. They sit there joyfully hearing him, but as he continues to speak, they just start to exchange a knowing look with one another. Some of the things he says, just not quite on the money. But they're lovely people, don't want to publicly embarrass him, so they turn to each other at the end of the synagogue meeting, and they think, well, let's invite him home for Sunday lunch. They invite him into their home, and then they invite him into their lives. Now, this is not a one-off thing for Priscilla and Aquila. We know that they were the kind of disciple makers who regularly opened their home and opened their lives. In two places in the New Testament, we're told that the church meets at their house. There's a church that met at their house, probably a big house, a big courtyard. And so Priscilla and Aquila show us here that the disciple makers are people who open up their lives. Why? Well, so that others can see them as they follow Christ. Disciple makers are people who are willing to allow others into their lives so that they can see them living as disciples in a kind of up-close way. Now, the Apostle Paul modeled that as well. For those who were here when we had our series in 1 Thessalonians, Paul wrote this to the Thessalonians, because we loved you so much, we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well. So I wonder how we could grow this morning as these kind of disciple makers. People who are willing to let others into our lives. Are there people like that, I wonder, in your life? That could include inviting them into our homes. My home is my castle, is not in the mentality of a Christian. Our homes are meant to be places of blessing for others, not places we retreat into for ourselves. But actually, you don't need to use your home in order to open up your life to others. Before I met Claire, as a single minister at the previous church I was serving, I realized I just struggled to make the time and have the energy at the end of a long day to invite people into my home. But I realized I could share my life with them in other ways. So I could go out for coffee or for dinner with other guys at church, seek to be a disciple maker with them there. We could go on walks together, on runs. I could open up my life to them in other ways. See, once we resolve to be disciple makers, we will find ways that work for us to open up our lives. That's the goal, opening up our lives to others so that others can see us following Jesus, so that others can grow as disciples themselves. So those are the first two characteristics of disciple-making people that we see from Aquila and Priscilla. Disciple makers, they're healthy disciples, and they're people who open up their lives so others can follow. We're going to see the final characteristic from their lives in a few minutes. But first, we're going to do a couple of things. As Stu mentioned, we're going to have some time talking with one another in those semicircles that we've made. So this might be an opportunity to do that with four or five people around us. We recognize this is not everyone's cup of tea, but it's meant to be a blessing for one another. So if you possibly can, just gather or turn to those near you, and we'll have some conversation around a question that's going to come up. And then we're going to sing again, and then we'll come to think of the last part of our talk this morning. So here's the question. How do you react to hearing that you're a disciple maker? And then part two to that is, what might be holding you back from that? How do you react to hearing that you're a disciple maker? We'll have 4 or 5 minutes for that, so do turn to one another and share with one another. And here's the final thing we see from Priscilla and Aquila. Disciple makers share God's word to disciple others. They've opened up their lives to Apollos so he can learn from them, but they don't stop there. Verse 26. Apollos began to speak boldly in the synagogue. When Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they invited him to their home and explained to him the word of God more adequately. Now, Priscilla and Aquila, they could see the wonderful potential that Apollos had, that God could use him powerfully in spreading the gospel. And so they thought, look, here's a guy who is worth us giving up time to invest in. Now, this almost certainly wasn't just one Sunday lunch. They probably had him over multiple times to explain the gospel to him more accurately, to show him the way of Jesus from the scriptures, to answer the many questions he no doubt had. And their investment of time, well, it paid off in a big way. They invest in him and then they send him off for fruitful ministry. We see that in verses 26 and 27 that Anne read. Their sacrificial investment in him has a wonderful effect on many others as he goes and brings the gospel accurately to them. Now, we learn from Priscilla and Aquila that disciple makers are those who share God's word to disciple others. Now, I just want to say this to us really clearly this morning. This is not just the job of people who preach and who teach. It's not just the role of people in a ministry team, leadership team. It's not just the role of small group leaders that we're thankful, really thankful to all of those people. Disciple making is meant to be a whole church activity, an Emmanuel-wide activity. Addressing the whole church in Ephesus, Paul speaks of their responsibility, he says, to speak the truth in love so that we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. That's our role as disciple makers, each and every one of us in the church who is following Jesus, to speak truth, the kind of truth that we just sung about together to one another all through our lives so that we grow mature in Christ. That is what disciple making involves, sharing God's word with one another to help us grow mature. Well, as we'll know very well, the Olympics has arrived. I love watching the Olympics. I particularly love the athletics. And one of the most exciting events, one of the most terrifying to watch in a way as well, is the relay. In the past, as Brits, we've not done a great job of not dropping the relay, the baton, have we? But the idea is you pass it on. You entrust it to the next person. You faithfully keep going together. The relay relies on each member passing the baton carefully to the next person. And it's a bit like that with disciple making. The church grows stronger in maturity as we all see ourselves as disciple makers who pass on what we're learning about Jesus to others so they can also follow. We've seen we need to be healthy disciples ourselves. We need to open up our lives for others to see. But ultimately, the most crucial way we can be disciple makers is by sharing God's word with one another. That's because it's God's word that shows us how to follow Jesus faithfully. It's God's word that gives us the strength we need to follow him. A few of us on the ministry team read a really helpful book together called The Vine Project, Shaping Your Ministry Culture Around Disciple Making. And the authors there make this wonderful observation for us. They write, one symptom of a congregational culture that is weak in disciple making is that there are few contexts or instances beyond the Sunday sermon in which the Bible's word is regularly being spoken. They're saying you measure the health, the discipleship health of a church by how many places God's word is being spoken by one another to each other. Now, I wonder how you feel we measure up at Emmanuel in the light of that that vision of disciple making. Just think it through with me for a moment. It's definitely not the case, is it, that Sunday sermons are the only place where we're regularly sharing the Bible to grow one another in maturity. We've got a whole wonderful set of small groups, great places where the word is being spoken. Let me know if you're not in a group. We would love to have you join one. There are also some wonderful groups that have grown on the back of our Alpha, our Hope Explored courses. There's a group that Wendy and John run where they just run through the Bible gradually to get for people who are new Christians to get to know it together. So there are encouragements there. There are encouragements as we look around and see particular relationships and maybe small prayer groups and relationships one to another where the Bible's being shared. But I reckon we would probably all say that we've also got a way to go as well. If we asked ourselves a question like this, does every follower of Jesus at Emmanuel see themselves as a disciple maker who is actively discipling at least one other person? That would be a great question to think through. And I think we've probably got work to do there. I mean, imagine if every single one of us committed to being a disciple maker who was discipling at least one other person. Can you imagine what an amazing difference that would make? Yes, to the life of our church family, but beyond that to our schools, our workplaces, our community. So that is my encouragement to us all this morning from Priscilla and Aquila, from people like them, from people like Edward Kimball, who recognized that he was a disciple maker, that we be people who share the word of God with others to help them grow. Now, some of us might think, yeah, I'd like to do that. What does it look like? So just as we close, a couple of practical ways that we might do this. Just think about our conversations in and around church, before and after services, at other points where we see one another in the week. Why not consider asking one another a simple question like, what has encouraged you from the Bible this service or this week? Is there anything I can pray about from God's word for you today? Those are not difficult questions to ask one another, and they could be a great place to start. We could give it a try after this service. Here's another suggestion. Why not pray about the Christians you know who are younger than you at Emmanuel? I don't just mean younger age-wise. It could be the case, but younger in faith. It could be that they're older than you, but you know they're a newer Christian, and you've sort of struck up a good relationship, and you think that's a person who I could intentionally invest in. Why not pray about? Pray about that today. Is there one person who you know who you could invest in? Perhaps who you could invite to your house or invite out for coffee to share your life with them. And then perhaps simply to read a bit of the Bible with them. There are all sorts of resources that can help you do that. I'd love to share some of them with you if that's something you'd like to do. But it can simply be opening up a portion of the gospel and reading it together and saying, what does this tell us about God? What does this tell us about us? That can be a wonderful thing to do with others. And if you would like help because you would like to do this, either you would love someone who's discipling you, who's been a Christian longer, or you would love to disciple someone else, please talk to any of us in the ministry team. We would love to do some of the work of linking you up. If there's not someone, as you pray about that, who you think it's obvious to you who you could invest in, but you would love there to be that person, we would love to help with that. Finally, for you kids, I wonder, is there someone at school or who you'll see over the holidays who you would love to tell about Jesus so they can become his followers? There is still time to invite them along to Mayhem or in the term to invite them to Friday Rocks, places like that. It'd be a great thing to do because you've discovered how awesome Jesus is and you want them to find that as well. in the light of what we've been hearing, I'm going to pray briefly, and then I'm going to hand over to Stu. Father in heaven, we praise you for your work in our lives, for those of us following you this morning. And we pray that you would give us a fresh excitement and a fresh resolve to be part of what you are calling each one of us to. This work of discipling one another, helping one another to grow in following Jesus. I want to pray particularly this morning for any of those things that we named with one another, our barriers, our things that are holding us back individually. Father, I pray that you would, by your Spirit in our hearts, break down those barriers. Father, if it's a barrier of confidence, please would you enable us just to take one small step towards another person this week. If it's a barrier of recognizing the challenges of ourselves in following Christ before we encourage others, Father, would you put your finger on the places where we need to follow you more closely this week? Father, whatever the barrier is, would you break that down so that we grow as this church, discipling one another, maturing until that wonderful day when we stand complete in your sight. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Emmanuel Croydon podcast. For more information about our church and everything we have going on, visit our website, emmanuelcroydon.org.uk. You can also follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram to see and hear what's going on in the life of our church. God bless you and have a wonderful week.